Everyone likes new things. We love the feel of new carpet laid down. We love the look of new paint on a wall. We love the power of a new computer or a new electronic. And so we love new things. How many of you got a new piece of clothing, some type of new piece of clothing for Christmas? Raise your hand. All right. Most of us got some new clothing. I got two new sweaters. I'm wearing one of them today. You guys like it? Is that right? Thanks to my father-in-law. Thank you very much. And so what I like to do when I get new clothing is I like to rip off the tag immediately. Even before I try it on, I just like to rip off, cut off the tags. I did that. I put this new sweater on, and I was like, this fits well, and I really like it. And then I noticed there was an extra tag like on the side. And it was one of those tags that was like really close, not much fabric between the tag and the sweater. And so I said, okay, let me get my scissors. And I cut the tag off, and then I noticed there was a hole in my sweater after the tag came off. Anyone ever do that before? Or am I the only one that's not very competent? Thank you for sharing. Well, the sweater went from being new to not so new very quickly. I took it back, and they actually took it back, which I was very thankful for. The Bible tells us that one of the great things about the Christian life is the power of new beginnings, a freshness, new revelation, new blessings, new opportunities. And we know that as we start off 2015, this is a new year. God takes that which is old and makes it new, bringing newness to our lives. And there's no better time to talk about the power of new beginnings than on the first Sunday of the year. And so we're going to do a two-part series called New Beginnings. 2014 is now old. 2014 is in the past. And God has for us new and exciting things as we broach this new year. And so we're going to spend 2 weeks talking about new beginnings. If you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to open it to Psalm chapter 40. Book of Psalms, in the middle of your Bible, and turn to Psalm chapter 40. And we'll read the entire psalm, which is 17 verses. The psalm written by David, it says this, "For the director of music of David, a psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you've done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I'm poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. Well, next week we'll focus on the opportunities that God will grant us in 2015. The blessings that he will bestow on us during this new year. And the dreams that he's placed in our hearts for this new year. Do you realize that God has placed dreams in your heart, desires in your heart for this new year? And we need to uncover those and receive those. God wants to give you a new song. And the new song is better than the old song. That's why it's new. And the new song is based from revelation from God. So God wants to give you revelation. He wants to put a new song in your heart for 2015. We'll talk about what that looks like next week. But before we get to the new, we have to deal with the forgiveness that we need for the old. Let me give you some background on the Psalms. The theme of the Psalter is about pursuing wisdom and integrity against the backdrop of living in a harsh reality. The harsh reality that we live in is that we have a proneness to sin and we live within difficult circumstances of living in a fallen world. So how do we live a life of worship in the midst of our own proneness and in the midst of difficult circumstances around us? How do we live a life of worship, a life of integrity, a life of wisdom? That's what the Psalms are about, looking at the reality and the harshness of reality and modeling what it means to actually walk with God with a heart of wisdom and integrity. There are 150 psalms in the Psalter, written by a number of authors. King David wrote about half of the psalms. King David was a man after God's own heart. He wrote about the ups and downs of trying to live a life of integrity in the midst of a harsh reality. And so 1 and 2 Samuel give us the historical progression of David's life. The Psalms, against the backdrop of that historical progression, give us the spiritual implications of David's life. And so you read in 1 and 2 Samuel the events of his life, and then you read the Psalms to read the spiritual implications underneath David's life. The Psalms are organized into five sections, or five books. You can see the breakdown on the screen. And there's a progressive thought that goes from the very beginning to the very end of the Psalter, starting in book one, working our way through to book five. Let me take about 8 to 10 minutes and give you an overview of the entire Psalter. A macro perspective of the movement and the flow of the entire Psalms. Here's the breakdown. Book one opens with the first two Psalms. The first two Psalms are introductory. They're anonymous Psalms. We don't know who wrote them. But Psalm one contrasts the wicked with the righteous. What does it mean to follow God against those who don't follow God? And the emphasis in Psalm 1 as an introduction to the Psalter is about our individual relationship with God. Psalm 2 acts as an introduction to the entire Psalter as well. But Psalm 2 focuses not on the individual, but on the community. What does it mean for a community to walk with God? And what does it mean for a community to relate to the king and live out a kingdom? Psalm 1 is about one's relationship. Psalm 2 is about the community and the relationship with the king. Psalms 3 through 14 are called lament psalms. Heartfelt cries to God. Psalm 14 concludes, there's no one righteous, no one follows God, everyone's turned aside, everyone's sinful. And so Psalm 15 begins with the question, okay, if that's true, who can follow God? Who can have a relationship with God? And Psalm 15 tells us, those who walk a path of integrity, a path of wisdom, a path of humility. And we see throughout the first book this orientation that God blesses the righteous. We then move into book two, and we know that their emphasis in book two is again on the community and our relationship with a king. It's also an orientation psalm. As we move through book two, we see the beauty and power of Mount Zion in Jerusalem, where God dwells forever, the place where justice rules, where righteousness is rewarded, and where God's people will be protected and safe forever with the king. Here's where you see a heavy emphasis in book two of the royal psalms, focusing on the king and the kingdom. We're a community living in relationship to a king, and this king protects us and empowers us to establish a kingdom. We then move into book three, and we begin realizing that the way things are supposed to be, that the righteous are blessed, the unrighteous are cursed and judged, isn't the way we see it in the real world. Historically, in book three, we're at around 600 BC. Foreign nations invade Jerusalem. They capture Israel's king. We no longer have a king. The city is destroyed. Mount Zion is destroyed. The temple is destroyed. The Ark of God is removed, which was God's presence. And God's people are deported from their homeland. And so you move from orientation, where life makes sense, to now you're in a state of disorientation. It's like, as I observe the world, I see the wicked prospering, and I see the godly suffering. You ever made that observation? The godly seem to suffer, and the wicked seem to prosper in life. And not only that, but that the security of the king is gone, and our ability to worship him through sacrifices is gone because the temple's gone, and I am in a serious state of disorientation. Life no longer makes sense. And what we find in book three are some of the darkest psalms written in the Psalter. Oh God, what have you done? Why have you abandoned us? You've made promises that you aren't keeping. We have no one to protect us, not the king, not you, not anyone. It's as if you either are sleeping or you've died. Have you ever felt that way? Complete disorientation. My life is turned upside down. What I thought was true is no longer true. Righteous people are not blessed. They're a laughingstock. Evil people prosper in this world. Everything is turned upside down. And the psalmist says, it seems like those who follow you suffer in this life. And those who rebel have everything they want. And as we move deeper into book three, we read in Psalm 88, which is the darkest psalm, the most desperate psalm in the entire Psalter. And this abandonment psalm ends by saying, darkness is my closest friend. I don't know where you are, God, but darkness seems to be my closest friend. Book four opens with Psalm 90, which focuses on not the reality of the thought of, is God dead or is God sleeping? But now Psalm 90, written by Moses, psalmist now contemplates his own mortality. And in verse 12 of chapter 90, it's the turning point of the entire flow of the Psalter. Because at this point, in verse 12 of chapter 90, the psalmist says that may I number my days and gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Teach us the brevity of life, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Help us to see that life is here today and gone tomorrow. Help us to make the most of the life while I have it. I don't know what 2015 brings. Some of us in this room may not make it through 2015. Life is brief. Here today, gone tomorrow. Teach me to number my days that I may gain a heart of wisdom. And now for the first time, we see the psalmist in the flow of the Psalter contemplating his own mortality, begins to see that it is possible to actually worship God, to live a life of integrity, a life of wisdom. Even though the temple's gone, the anointed king is gone, Mount Zion lies in ruins, and we're in a foreign land. In other words, even though my circumstances around me are a complete mess, and even though I see the wicked seemingly prospering and the righteous seemingly suffering, I realize my life is short and I better get my life together and walk with God. And as we work our way through book four, the psalmist learns to come back to God in his heart without the structures and the protection of the king. Psalm 103, which is in the middle of book four, is a masterful psalm on the grace and forgiveness of God. Book 5 then opens with the idea that God is my deliverer. I will follow him all my life. I praise him and I worship him. No matter what is going on around me, no matter the circumstances, I know that I've been forgiven of my past, and I know that even though life may not make sense, I am going to worship God and I'm going to live for God and I'm going to have my priorities right. I'm going to live a life of integrity and a life of wisdom no matter what's going on in life. And book 5 is all about praise, praise, praise. And their last several psalms are just about praising God no matter what's going on around me. Reorientation now takes place. My life has been recalibrated. I'm reoriented to what's right and eternal. And I will follow God no matter what, or no matter who does, or no matter who doesn't. In the end, the righteous are vindicated and the wicked will perish. And God's kingdom will advance. And historically within the Psalter, Mount Zion doesn't return completely. The nation is never fully restored with a king and with God's presence in Jerusalem. But the stage is set for the real king and the real one to worship as Jesus the Messiah comes. Well, that's the macro perspective of the Psalter. And you see bits and pieces of this movement within clusters of the Psalms, sections of the Psalms, and you see this movement actually in some individual Psalms themselves. In Psalm 40, which is at the end of book 1, Psalm 40 says, God wants to put a new song in your heart, a renewed vision and direction to walk with him. And we want to do that for 2015, a vision of integrity, wisdom, being led by his Spirit, and walking humbly with God, a life of worship. Do you want to receive that new song? God has a new song for you. Do you want to receive that new song? How many of you have ever gotten a song stuck in your head and you just can't get it out? Anyone? How many of you ever had a song stuck in your head that you hate and you can't ever get it out? Yep. And then there are songs that we love and we can't get them out. So over the holidays, I found a ringtone for my phone that whenever Kathy calls me, this ringtone comes up. Now, interestingly enough, this is one of the only Sundays I've ever forgotten my phone as I'm driving, and I needed my phone this morning. So I'm borrowing my daughter's. Here's the ringtone, I'm going to play it for you, that whenever Kathy calls me, and I got in her phone as well, so that whenever I call her, here's the ringtone she hears. We'll see if you recognize it. I'll try to put it up to the mic. So whenever I call, here's what she hears. Some of you are putting your lighters off. That's fine. You can do that. So how many of you recognize the song? How many of you know the artist, the band? What is it? REO Speedwagon. How many of you know the year that song was released? I'd be very impressed. Many of you weren't even born at this time. What year? 82? Nope. 1980. I'm going to keep on loving you. So every time when I know my phone rings and I know that is my wife saying she's going to keep on loving me, and every time I call her, she knows I'm going to keep on loving her. It's a song that represents love and commitment, and there are times I just can't get the song out of my head. But here's what God wants to do according to Psalm 40. He wants to give you a new song that's not based from some rock band in the 80s. He wants to give you a new song that comes as direct revelation from Him to you, that you sing over and over and over again, that's in your heart, that's in your mind, that's a vision for what God has planned for you in your life, and it brings joy and excitement and has deep meaning. A song that you'll sing over and over. Here's what it says in verse 3 of Psalm 40. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. A song about your identity in God, which has to do with your personal relationship with God. And a song about your kingdom impact in community with others. He wants to put a new song in your heart about your relationship with Him and about your relationship within community and building a kingdom. A song that you will sing. But here's what I want you to understand, and it's the punchline of today's message. If we're going to dream about the future, if we're going to dream about the future, we need to know for certain that we have forgiveness from our past. If you don't remember anything else from this message, not even the song, remember this. If we're going to dream about the future, we need to know for certain that we have forgiveness from God from our past. You will not be in a posture ready to receive the new song that God has for you for 2015. And it's an awesome song. You won't be in a posture to receive it if you're stuck on the failings of your past. As I look at my role as a husband and as a dad, there were times in 2014 that I fell short of all that God wanted me to be. I also had missed opportunities in 2014 evangelistically. I also had a lack of spiritual passion for God at times during 2014. I was also not dependent enough on prayer and on God's strength over my own strength last year. At times, I was spiritually passive in my church leadership. At times, not always responding to the prompting of God's Spirit. And I could go on about my shortcomings and my failures in 2014. But here's what I know. God's placed my feet on a rock, and that rock is Jesus, and I've been forgiven of all my shortcomings in 2014. And because I know that, I'm fully prepared and ready to receive the new song that God wants to put in my heart and in my mind for 2015. And in spite of all my failures, he still used me to accomplish his divine plans last year, taking imperfect people and bringing about his perfect plans. And so I stand here this morning, humbled and forgiven at the end of 2014, and ready to receive the revelation that God has for me in 2015. But we'll never hear the new song God wants to put in our heart for 2015 if we're consumed with our failures and disappointments of 2014. And we all have disappointments. Things didn't work out exactly the way we hoped in 2014. And you can't drive your car forward if you're focused on looking at the rearview mirror. You have to take your eyes off the rearview mirror and on the road ahead of you. Are you ready for fresh revelation for this new year? Are you ready for a new song? If so, you need to experience God's forgiveness of your past. Where do you need forgiveness? Have you thought about it? Have you come clean with God? He already knows your failings and your shortcomings and your failures of 2014. But have we come to a point where we've simply recognized those, taken responsibility for those, sought forgiveness so that we can move on with a clean slate? Psalm 40, 1 and 2 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. And in verses 11 through 13 of the psalm, he says, do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me, for troubles without number surround me. We're always going to have difficulty in this life. Circumstances outside of our control and inside of our control that cause difficulty and trouble. For troubles without number surround me. My sins overtake me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. I'm just being honest. I'm a fallen person. I have sins, is what the psalmist is saying. And my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. We cannot be consumed with the failings of our past. We need to recognize those. Seek forgiveness and move forward. If we want to stand here at the beginning of 2015 with our feet firmly on the rock, ready to have that new song, we need to experience his unconditional love. So we're going to take communion as an opportunity for us to commune with God here at the beginning of this new year, for us to take a moment and think about last year, many positives, many breakthroughs, many powerful moments. But God has breakthrough for us in 2015. He has a new song for us. And there are opportunities that we're going to have this year that will be different and new from last year. But we can't be consumed with our failings and our sins of last year. And so we need to confess those and move on and posture ourselves to be prepared to receive the new song. Next week, we'll talk about what that new song is. But right now, let's take a look back in 2014, confess our sins to him, commune with him at the table where Jesus paid for our sins at the cross, and then be done with the failings of the past. If you feel like you need to seek someone's forgiveness, go do that. Be responsible, take responsibility. But then let's just move on from 2014 and put those failings and those weak moments and those lost opportunities behind us, because God has a new song for us this year. So let's just bow in prayer and just prepare our hearts for communion. If you're here this morning and you maybe haven't made that step to make Jesus your Savior and your Lord, this would be a great day, the first Sunday in 2015, to say, yes, Jesus, I finally believe in you. I finally want to place my faith in you, and I finally want to walk with you. And you make that commitment in your own heart to God, and today will be the day of your salvation. And for others who have already made that decision, this is an opportunity for you just to come clean with God. For us to take responsibility. Confess those sins. Let the Spirit speak to you. Recall the failings of 2014. And then as we're forgiven, by taking the bread and the cup, we can put those behind us and not think about those again. Just spend some time in confession and prayer and let the Spirit speak to us. And then whenever you're ready, you can slip out of your chair. And we have stations on both sides of the room. We have stations on the stage. We'll take the bread and the cup, which represents Jesus' death until he comes. He died for you. Your sins are forgiven. And we can start new. Speak to us, Lord.